Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth. O Lord, thou art our help and our deliverer. We bow down and worship thee. Selection 13. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, open our hearts to every call from thee, and over all the fears and anxieties of the world, let thy will for us prevail, so that in surrender to thy purpose, we may find our reward as ministers of thy grace and the messengers of thy love. Our Father, we believe in thee, we hope in thee, we love thee, because thou hast created us and redeemed us and dost inspire us. Increase our faith, strengthen our hope, deepen our love, that we may give ourselves up wholly to thy will and serve thee faithfully for all the days of our life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our speaker this morning is Dr. George C. Mackey. I have known Dr. Mackey intimately for more than 40 years. And I say without reservation that I have never known a more competent and dedicated physician, a wiser counselor, one who is constantly a better neighbor and one who is more consecrated to his Lord. He will speak after our hymn.
Dr. Reed and Dr. Brown, members of the faculty, students, and ladies and gentlemen. I have not the least idea of why Dr. Brown asked me to appear on this chapel program. No subjects were assigned, suggested, hinted, and consequently I have none. And what I have to say, just a few simple observations of a plain layman's mind, and is spoken with a sincere hope that it may benefit our future clergymen. In Dr. Osler, Sir William Osler's famous clinics, he very frequently would have some pert remarks to say, and in one of his presentations of a patient before the clinic, he introduced his, to say that this patient has suffered at the hands of many physicians. I'd like to paraphrase that just a little bit, his famous statement, and say that I've suffered at the hands of a few ministers. But also I have been blessed and comforted and my life enriched by many, which far overshadows the few who torment me. I've been associated with ministers ever since I came into the world. My maternal grandfather was a Baptist minister who earned his living by teaching school, surveying, and farming. The good influence that came from his preaching, his honesty, and his hard work still lives in the community in which he lived and in the counties surrounding his home county. He's long remembered after the larger landowners, the best politicians and our biggest distillers have been forgotten. And his name is cherished, and I cherish his life. Now, it's been 45 years since I came to Wake Forest College as a freshman. And a large percent of our student body at that time were ministerial students. Nobody ever called them ministerial students, they were called skies. And there were all kinds of skies. And it was in those undergraduate years that I began to learn that there were differences between ministers. I always thought that all ministers were sainted and hallowed and reverent and so forth, but then I began to find out that there were different kinds of ministers. A ministerial student. In those days, life was intimate on the small Christian college campus. We only had around 500 students, between 5 and 6, and we knew everybody. We stayed on the campus. We didn't go anywhere. We rode freight trains or got off somewhere. I think there were 4 automobiles that students had during my freshman year. And naturally, we stayed here because we didn't have any way to go or any money to go. And in following the work and following the lives of these boys, whom I knew very intimately, these young ministers have, through the years, impressed me greatly. And also the most successful ones were our loyal boys. I mean, the boys who were loyal to everything. They were loyal to their God, they were loyal to the church, they were loyal to the college, they were loyal to the faculty. And they would roll up their sleeves and do anything if someone said something against one of their friends. They were extremely loyal to their fellow students. And some of the brightest minds that we had in that group, some of the best debaters, some of the best orators, I mean really a silver tongue William Jennings Bryan type, boys with good minds, turned out far less successful than did some of their less brilliant classmates who were not loyal to their friends and especially not loyal to their religious faith. And I do not measure this in the size of the congregations that they preached to or the size of the edifices they built, but in terms of what good they did in their passage through the years, whether it be in the most humble, remote, rural cove church in the mountains, or where it may be, but what good they have done and how they have been honored and revered by their constituency and by their parishioners. And in my humble opinion, that any person who doesn't strive to add something to human betterment is a failure, regardless of how much he may accomplish in the business world, in the financial world, in the political world, professional world, the ecclesiastical world, unless he accomplishes and has in there something for human betterment, he is a failure, regardless of how much prominence he may gain in other ways. And loyalty and religious faith should have authority over our conduct. And when this ceases to be true, our conduct veers from the path. The path that Christ has set out for us to follow. And I often wonder how many of us in our daily lives let our loyalty and spiritual faith veer from the straight way in which we should do our thinking and which we should do our living. Our living is largely governed and should be governed, motivated by our religious faith and our loyalty to whatever we're doing. It makes no difference what it may be, to our institutions, to our church, to our denomination, even to our political party, and above all, to the sense of what is right, for the things that are just and true and right are the things that endure through all ages and through all kinds of stress and strain.
God, our Father, who has blessed our coming to this place, bless our going forth, that we may live by the strength of thy truth and by the power of thy Spirit, through Christ our Lord.